Hello. Thank you for tuning in this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service. We are a conservative church. We believe what the Bible says. We are grateful to be in the service of the Lord, and we would love to have you come worship with us and be a part of what's going on, of the exciting things that are taking place here at Rallets. I want to take just a moment and also invite you to come to our Wednesday evening services. We have services every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and it's a more of a laid-back service where we simply take out God's Word and we talk about God's Word. I tell you, there's not a better subject that I can think of. There's not anything that would build you up more. There's not anything that you can take more away from than you can from taking away from God's Word. So I just want to invite you to come join us in those things. I'd like to take just a minute, if I could, to wish a happy anniversary also to Arnold and Joyce Brown. Arnold and Joyce are celebrating anniversary today, Thursday the 18th, and so we thank God for them and their ministry here at Rallets. Arnold's one of our deacons here, and proud to have him, proud to know him. He's a good man. Also like to wish a couple of happy birthdays. This next Wednesday, the 24th, is a birthday to Patricia Alvey. Happy birthday, Patricia, and Rebecca Piercy. And I believe Rebecca will be celebrating the big 01. She'll be 1 year old. And we just thank God for them and her dad and Brother Tim. And it's just been a wonderful experience getting to know her and watch her grow over the past year. Now, if you would, if you're able to, if you're where you can, take out your Bible with me and let's continue looking at this book of Philippians. I've really been enjoying this book of Philippians because it's a book that is full of joy. It's a book that's full of happiness. It's a book that speaks to you about true Christianity. You can encounter God through the book of Philippians. What it really means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, so often people confess to knowing Jesus, but they're not in a relationship with Him. I'm in a relationship with my Savior. We speak on a daily basis. We have interaction with one another. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God reveals Himself to me, showing me what wonderful things are in store for me throughout the rest of my days as I serve the Lord God Almighty. And I'll tell you something wonderful about that. That's not an exclusive club. As a matter of fact, God wants you to have that same sort of relationship with Him. Through the book of Philippians, you can see what it really means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything, now folks, everything flows from that relationship. So it ought to be your, as a Christian, if you're a Christian this morning, it ought to be your foremost pursuit is to pursue deepening that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something that you can do first and foremost. Now listen, yes, we're a Southern Baptist church, but I want to tell you, we're not lowering the value of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I love my Pentecostal brothers. I love them so much. But just because you're Pentecostal don't mean you don't have to be Pentecostal to celebrate Pentecost. I'm glad today I stand before you in a happy state of mind knowing that one day, some time ago, that there were some men and women who came together and they were praying. They were in one heart and one mind and one accord. And the Bible tells us a great rushing wind came through that place and the tongues of fire leapt from their minds. And I believe that's the day the Holy Spirit came to enter into mankind. And oh, what a day it'll be. Oh, how wonderful it is to see God's people get swept again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without it, we are nothing and we're incapable of pleasing God except through the power of the Holy Spirit that we've been sealed with. We're going to be delivered by it. We were convicted. We've had our sanctity clarified. And one day, friends, we're going to be converted from out of this world into the next, all through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great today? I tell you, the evidence, watch this, the evidence of a close walk with God can be summed up in two words, contentment and joy. Now, don't mistake those words for happiness. Happiness, it comes and goes. You can have joy in all circumstances. Regardless of what's happening in your life, you can be content and you can have joy. And I'll tell you, folks, that comes through serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit bestows those qualities, just like Paul, as we read through Philippians. Paul in prison was able to have those qualities. He said, I've been abased, I know how to abound. All these things Paul knew about. And the Holy Spirit brings joy from within, despite life's circumstances. So, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged and know that God is at work in your life. Now, your challenge is to walk with Him and to release, let it go, let it flow, put it in His hands, your life to His will. Now, I want you to go to chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and let's read verses 5 through 11, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Thank you so much. I know you're being attentive, and I know that God is right now beginning to reveal something. God's beginning to work and move in your heart. I don't know. There's somebody out there, though, that definitely needs to hear this. Now, watch these verses. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul's continuing to speak to us here in Philippians. He's continuing to show us some things that are very vital to us in our Christianity. The first thing he starts off with there in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you know the highest form of flattery is imitation? And the Bible exhorts us time and time again to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to walk as He walked, to speak as He spoke, and to really allow our lives to be a reflection of Jesus Christ Himself. And you know, that would be impossible if it were not for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because us, as men, we're born with a finite mind. We don't have capabilities to be able to grasp the infinite things of God, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can become more like Jesus. What are some of the things that stay? This is exciting. What are some of the things that was on Jesus' mind? How did Jesus look at the world? Can you imagine looking through His eyes and seeing some of the things that we see today? First and foremost, I think Jesus would look at the church and decide that a lot of our church services are not exactly where they need to be. He would say that so many folks today seem to be not celebrating Jesus' life, but celebrating His death. You know, you've been to some of those services. We've all been through those times when it seems as if we've come together for a Sunday morning, the choir begins to sing, and it sounds like an old funeral sermon or a funeral song, and then the sermon gets even worse. And I'll tell you, the best thing a lot of folks are getting out of church today is a good nap, and that's because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to move in their hearts and to do something in their life. I want you to know today that you serve a living God. And it's exciting. It's wonderful to be in His service, to stand in awe and wonder of the goodness of God. You and I are privileged to be Christians today. It's only through the grace of God that we've achieved these things. I think the mind of Christ was a humble mind. You see, He had all the power of God. He had every ability that man has today, and yet He was able to take those meager abilities and knew in humility that He was nothing more than a man, and He was able to live to perfection. Now that's amazing. But it also is a challenge to us. For you see, though Jesus was fully man, He was also fully God. And in order for Him to maintain His humility, knowing who He was, where He came from, and what was going on, is the ultimate show of humility. You know, Moses was a very blessed man. And the Bible tells us at the time of Moses' death, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth in that day. And I think if there could ever only be one to beat Moses, it'd be the Lord Jesus. I believe Jesus went about in humility everywhere that he went. As a matter of fact, he would not even take for a long period of his ministry, he wouldn't even take on the name of Christ or Messiah. He simply called himself the Son of Man, which alluded to the fact that he was the Christ or the Messiah. But it also showed a humility. It also showed that he was waiting for God's perfect time in order for him to be displayed to the world. We need the mind of Christ today. You know what else Jesus was? He was a man of prayer. He was a man that constantly went to the Father seeking help and guidance from the Father. Listen, friend, the best thing you can do for your pastor is to pray for him. The best thing you can do for your church is to pray for them. I want to, if you attend Rallis Baptist Church, do the best thing you can do for me is to pray for me and ask God to lift me up. And I'll tell you, we've had some amazing services. I've been so tickled with the things that are going on here. I've seen the Spirit of God. I've felt it in my own heart. But those things are not worked up by men. And I'm not responsible for them. And there's not one member that's responsible for them. The deacons can't make it happen. The choir can't make it happen. The Sunday school teachers have no power over it. We are only servants of the Most High God. And it's through humbly knowing our place and knowing that we are nothing. It's only through that that the Holy Spirit can shine and show himself to a world of lost sinners. Now, I understand that's becoming an unpopular term. I understand that completely. But it's not going to help anybody to sugarcoat the fact that they're lost and they're dying and facing a devil's hell. I wonder how long it'll be, just as a side note, before they won't even allow us to say that over the radio, a devil's hell. My goodness, you might offend somebody. My goodness, you might cause someone to turn away or to think that you're preaching a God of hate. Oh no. No, no. My God is a God of love. And Jesus, all the preachers of the Bible, of all the prophets in the Bible, the one that talked about hell the most was the Lord Jesus. Do you know why? Because He loved the most. And would we not be standing with vindication on our hearts, would it not leave us with an excuse if we didn't know? The mind of Christ was a mind that was concerned with others. And He wanted to see nobody go to that place prepared for Satan. Jesus would have every man to be saved. He died for every man. And so you might say today you don't want to have anything to do with this Jesus, that if He'll just leave you alone, you'll leave Him alone and everything will work out in the end. But friend, listen, whether you love Jesus or not, He died for you. So now, what will you do with that? Whether you believe in Him or not, He died for you, knowing, hoping, praying that something might trigger a response in you. Maybe it was His beating. Maybe it was the cursings He took. Maybe it was when they spit upon Him. Every one of those things were done that they might somehow prick the hardness of your heart and cause you to begin to think about what love that Jesus had. Even hell, even a thing as terrible as hell, is used to push and draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. A major impediment in our life is pride. Pride defies God's right to our lives. When we release our pride and give ourselves away and humbly obey God, something miraculous happens. We see the humble Christ by our side. In His presence, friend, we are carried into God's throne room. And we'll see His activity to redeem a lost world. Then God uses us for His glory. We talked about Him being in the form of God. He did not consider it robbery. There in that verse where it says, verse 7, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. It's talking about, it could be translated that He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself. The mind of Christ was one not to leave anything behind. He give it all. Nothing has been undone that needed to take place in order to see your salvation secured. You see, friend, all the ingredients are there. Everything that you ever needed to be saved is right there before you. The ball is in your court. We might say it's your turn. We might say that the burden has been placed on you. I remember one time when Pontius Pilate asked the Jewish crowd, "What will I do with this man now?" And they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Little did they know they were securing for us a great, great redemption. Oh, the wonderful story of Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that He died for our sins, to know that He rose again for our lives. The mind of Christ. Look at verse 8. "And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now listen, you know very well that crucifixion was the most degrading form of execution among the Romans. As a matter of fact, only the lowest of the low were ever crucified. That was something they held for a special place. People that were held in contempt, people they looked down upon. They saw no value in these lives. They saw no reason for these men and women to exist. And they put them. They would crucify these people. And it was a horrible, horrible way to die. But not only that, did you know that years and years before that the Bible had said there in the Old Testament that every man that was hung upon a tree was to be cursed. Jesus was cursed so that we might live. Isn't that amazing? But He emptied Himself of His privileges that He might accept this death. And He humbled Himself to the death of the cross. The cross was reserved for slaves and foreigners convicted of serious crimes. Christ's obedience took Him from the throne room of heaven to the humiliation of the cross. Now, verse 9, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name." That's right. When you think about Jesus, you think about His name. Now, Jesus does a lot of things for His name's sake. His name means a lot to Him. In those times, the name gave a whole lot more meaning than what we see to Him today. Oftentimes, we forget about the name's sake of somebody. We forget about why somebody... we pick a name because it's cool, or it sounds good, or it looks good, or maybe it's a family tradition. But in those days, the names held a whole lot of meaning. They held a whole lot of emphasis. Where they held a whole lot of encountering. And I tell you, Jesus did these things in order that you and I might know His true name, and that is the name of Savior, Messiah, Anointed One. And God has given Him a place of reverence. God has given Him a place of beauty and a place of honor. Why? Because He's the only begotten Son. That's why. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, the angels bow to the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan must bow to the name of the Lord Jesus. Those things that are in heaven, those things that are in the heavens were created by Jesus. The clouds, the stars, the moon, all those planets in the universe. None of those things is higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things which are not only in the physical heavens, but also in the spiritual heavens. The angels and all those created beings, they all bow down to Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth. And He's given Him a name that's exalted. Now watch this. Not only of those in heaven and of those on the earth. Now you know who that's referring to. That's somebody that you know very personally. As a matter of fact, they're sitting in the same place you are. And that's you. That's you, friend. Did you know there'll come a point in time when your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? No, 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 you might say. You might want to beg to differ on that point. You might say, "Oh, I'm an atheist, or I'm a non-believer. I don't go that way." Oh, friend, listen to me. That's not going to make any difference. Even those that hate God will bow a knee and confess with their tongue. You see, that's something everyone's got to do. Now, for me and those that love God, that's not going to be an issue. I've got a lot of good friends that I see every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and we share with these things with one another. And I tell you, I can't wait for the day. I really can. I know it's closer now than it's ever been. I can't wait for the day that I get to bow my knee and raise my face to God Almighty. And if He'll let me, I just one moment to confess that Jesus is Lord, and He has been Lord of my life for a long time. Now, I can say that in security. I know what great things God's done in my heart and in my life. And I hope you can say that too. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of who? God the Father. Jesus did all things that God may be glorified. God did all things that He might glorify the name of His Son. The Holy Spirit glorifies them both. Isn't that wonderful today? Now, I want to ask you, Christian, are you living your life that it might glorify God? Can other people take a look at what's going on in your heart, in your family, and say, my goodness, God certainly has His hand upon those individuals. My goodness, God is certainly doing a great work in that home. Well, that can be your home. You can be that person. But friend, it takes some sacrifice. It takes some want to. It takes a desire to serve God. It takes a desire to know Him more intimately every day and to really call upon His name. The Greeks worshiped gods in heavens. They worshiped gods on the earth and the sea and the underworld. And the Apostle Paul, he proclaimed that any category of being known or imagined among the nations, as well as the living and the dead, must eventually acknowledge Christ as ruler of all. And so shall we. We too will acknowledge Jesus. And I hope you can do it as I do it, with joy and contentment, not ever having to worry about the things that those that are being separated from God. So that's my challenge to you today. Is your life a life that God can find glory in? Is your heart and soul where it needs to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it seem empty? Does it seem vain? Do you feel like you're caught in a rut? Is your religion boring? Are you having a hard time understanding why things are happening in your life? Well, I've got the answers. And I think you know where to find them. So let me leave you with this prayer. Father God, I just ask that You might continue to draw men into Yourself. And Lord, let's just glorify the name of Jesus. Let nothing be said of our actions or of our deeds or anything that we try to accomplish. But let everything be done to the glory of God. Let everything be done that people may know that Jesus still lives and still working in hearts today. Thank You, dear Lord, for love and laughter and happiness, but thank You most of all for the Holy Spirit and the joy and the contentment that come with being a Christian. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.